be a Christian. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians 3:20 and 21. As I said to you last week, I love this time of year because it just seems to be brings out the best in most folks, unless you're at the parking lot at the mall. But it's good to see people being kind and generous and going about trying to extend kindness to other people. And that's whether all of them believe this or not, we know that's because of, as Ray was mentioning, this unspeakable gift that our God has given to us. And so it's just one of those times of the year when we pay closer attention to that, an unspeakable gift. Now, what he means by that is that it's so great he can't describe it. It doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about it. Oh, that was poor. Okay, amen, that's a little better. Yeah, it doesn't mean we're not going to mention the idea that Jesus is our Savior. And that all of mankind everywhere so desperately needs to hear about the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying in the season of hope, that's from me. That's my personal feeling. Always hope in Jesus Christ. There's always hope that no matter where we've been or what we've done or where folks are going, we know someone who can bring them back. We know someone that can lift us up and save us out of whatever our despair is. I hope you believe that like I believe. You believe that today? That Jesus can help us no matter what. If we'll just remember that, we'll be so much better off. I said to you last week, I'd been driving around some of our neighborhoods. I don't mean on purpose, but just as I drove through a town and more things keep going up as we get closer to the day. But it's so encouraging to me to see that there are people out there, even though there are folks who want us to believe that nobody cares about this, that they have on their houses that they're in belief of the Christ, that they have things out in their yard that are reminding all of us that Jesus, well, He's the King. And He's the reason that anything makes any difference. And regardless of what you believe the Bible to teach and in harmony with the idea, I want you to be on the same page I'm on. I realize that there are some people who say one thing and do another. Anybody know anybody like that? Hello? Y'all know anything? Anybody like that? Anybody in this room said one thing and did another? Oh, yeah. Hopefully we bring ourselves to the recognition that we're all in the same boat. We need the saving grace of Jesus the Christ to make it through. That's an amen point, brethren. Do I have to keep prepping you? Get excited about this. We got a great opportunity right now in this time to talk about our Lord and our Savior. And when Jesus tells us through His writers and through the book, that it is, of course, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all mankind. This is Titus 2 and verse 11. I'm sharing this with you. I'm off my notes, okay? I'm not there yet. But listen, by denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we live soberly, at least we're supposed to, soberly and righteously, godly in this present world because God so loves us. And that's what our job is. Truly, many other signs did Jesus do in the presence of His disciples that are not written in this book. Remember last week, John chapter 20, 30 and 31? That you may be, these are written that, Donald, you might believe. It's an interesting thing to find out that, you know, most of what the gospel story, you probably think that the four gospel stories covers every minute that Jesus was doing His ministry. Well, dream on. It's quite the contrary. In fact, John illustrates it by saying to all of us that if all of the things have been written down that Jesus did, there wouldn't be books to hold it or libraries to build that could hold the books about what Jesus did. And that to me is an amazing thought to try to wrap my brain around, since I am so engrossed and so involved in the gospel stories and what I hear and what I strive to try to understand that He's read and left for me. These things are written that you might believe. This morning the scripture is, and I'll move into the lesson, and don't worry, you're going to get to the restaurant here in a few minutes. I'll get you there. But for a moment, let's talk about the unspeakable gift, the grace of God, and its access. Our scripture today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5. This is a great, marvelous passage. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have faith with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace, or this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice, or we boast, says this version, in the hope of the glory of God. I hope you believe in that. Because you see, embedded in the principle of faith is being able to trust in Him to do exactly what He promised to do. Hello? It's embedded in the thought, the principle of faith. Faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. And it is the dim evidence of the things we don't see. I believe in Christ and in God, even though I can't explain everything about how it got here, why it got here, how could it possibly be? I wasn't like Jesus there from the very beginning, or the Holy Spirit that all took part in the creation. But you see, by faith, I can believe in it. I can find myself there. And I can believe that God will do what He promises to do. Because not only is faith, you see, the substance of things that we hope for and evidence of what we do not see, we recognize later on in the book of Hebrews in verse 6 where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He does what? That He rewards those who seek Him, that diligently seek Him. That's what it's all about, Wayne, isn't it? Seeking God and believing that He's going to do what He said. How many of you believe that today? That God is going to do what He promised He would do? Yeah, you see, when they finally put that last shovel of dirt on the box or whatever it is they put me in, I'm going to know that my God is real. I know that that's not the end. My kids will sob at my funeral if I don't outlive them. But that won't be the end, will it, Bobby? That is not the end. And as Christian people, we believe in that. And we don't want to let that opportunity slip away from us. I hope you'll come back here tonight. I hope there'll be people that will come from our community. And they will see in us the hope that is in Jesus Christ. You're not going to find hope in the United States of America, my friends. You're only going to find it in the God who created the world and in Jesus the Christ. And if you're looking for it in the politicians, forget it. You won't find it. It's only found in the unspeakable gift of Jesus who is the Christ. Belief in Jesus Christ. That is what it's about. And I think that sometimes we don't always grasp the importance of the access that we have to the grace of God, knowing that God is going to do what He says He will do based upon the fact that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Our text indicates, you know, it starts off with that, therefore being justified by faith, right? Y'all know what I'm getting ready to say. I'm a broken record. But I'm going to keep being that broken record till we can all just have it come to our mind when we think about it. Being justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Can you get that through your head? See, Satan wants you to believe about how bad you are because you're still involved in sins. But God says in Jesus Christ, it's just as if you never sinned. Come on now, do you believe it? These things are written that you might believe. And our access to the grace, that blessed gift that we don't deserve, that there isn't anything we can do about, is ours. Why? Because God said so. God promised it. He promises it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I am unafraid to say to you and to the community that's beyond here that it's not in Muhammad. That it's not in some other kind of religion. It is only in Jesus Christ. You believed in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, what would He have done? Why, I've told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you so that, and if I go, I will come again. We all believe He went, right? We all believe that He was here on the earth and that He lived, He died, and was resurrected. So He left. And when He comes again, He's bringing His gift with Him and He's going to take us to glory. When I come and you are to follow me, as He's saying to His disciples, and where I go, you know. And somebody said, well, wait a minute. We're not sure where you're going. How can we know the way? You know the answer. What is it, folks? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody, no man, nobody cometh unto the Father. But how? By Jesus Christ. By me. Now, I'm sorry. Throw me off the boat if they want to. But that's what the book says. And I'm standing with it until the day I can't stand anymore. Till they put me in the grave. I am going to preach it from the mountaintop or the desert place that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you put your trust in Him and you obey in Him and you keep His commandments and you follow Him, and His grace forgives you for your sin, because the Bible says so, you will be with Him in eternity. I hope that that will be the kind of faith that you will express as you are going through the world. I told you, John 8, verse 24, that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, and you will indeed die in your sins. Those are the words of Jesus. They're not the preaching of Bob from whatever church he may be from. This is Bob preaching from the Bible. The Bible says, you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. Why? Because God doesn't have a means of forgiving sin except through Jesus Christ. Jesus would say to Martha, who was so distraught at Lazarus being dead, I am the resurrection and I am the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. That's what I meant about put two shovel faces of dirt if you want on top of that last time. You know, pile it up even if you like. It won't matter. I'm going to be in heaven. You can cover me up all you want to. I'm going to be like Lazarus. I'm going to come from the tomb. And I'm going to be where Jesus is. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked Martha, do you believe that? And I'm asking you, do you believe that? Can you all believe that? I love this passage, Jim, over in Acts 11 at verse 21, where it just very plainly states that the Lord's hand was with them. That's all the folks that were there. And it says that a great number of the people believed. And what did they do? They turned to the Lord. And here, my friend, you see, belief, and I heard Brother Jones explaining this very well in his class today about the idea of calling on the name of the Lord. So many will make that statement as though it's an all-inclusive sort of salvation step. But what does that mean? And what does it mean to believe and to turn to the Lord? It means to act on your faith. I hate to even have to think about explaining what the word actually means. But that's what faith is about, isn't it? Faith without works is what? If you don't act upon what you believe in, how can you ever express your belief? That's what God's acting from us. And anybody that is under the impression that somehow or another that's an irreverent work and you can't claim that, you haven't read enough. It's what God commands. It's not a work that we're doing. It's a response to what Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Y'all don't know? Saved. Say it loud. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. That's not a work. That's an expression of faith and obedience to what God was calling upon us to do. It's far beyond some kind of mental assent. The idea is us to put Jesus in the right place. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. I've got another 30 minutes worth of preaching in my sermon, but listen, I can't think of a better place to stop. You believe in Jesus? That's the point of my lesson. That's the access to grace. Is your faith as it is expressed. That's your faith being examined by the Savior, by responding to what He asks you to do. You may be here today and think, I need that. You may be here today and, well, just think, my life needs to be straightened out and to get right back on the right path. You're the one that is in control of that. Let us know. We're happy to pray with you and encourage you, but we want you to know that it is Jesus who puts us back on target. It's not us, and it won't be you, except that you're in control of where you're letting God take you. Now, do you want to get right? You want to be right? You want to be where your loved ones have gone? You want to be where Jesus has promised you'll go? I know you do. Why don't you come right now while we stand, while we sing? Peyton, I know I'm jumping on you early maybe, but come on.